The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
All right, I had to have Goody on because the other night we're at the IMAX and we're there to see a screening. My wife and I are there at the IMAX to see a screening, and Bill walks in. And when Goody walks in, there's a couple seats that are for Bill, and that's great. That's how it should be. And of course, Bill, chief film critic for Gannett and AZ Central, he walks in and he sits down. I text him because I'm far away from him. And I said, something like, good seeing you. Where are you? I said, look to the west. And he's looking around and my wife's like, no, that's the east. and then all these people around me are like, no, that's the east, you idiot. So then we finished the movie and we're driving home, and the whole way home, she's like, you really thought that was the west? Like, wait, I just saw Oppenheimer with you and it was really good. And you're going to ask me where Bill was from the east to the west and how the IMAX is constructed?
Who says east and west? Why didn't you just say right or left?
I don't know. I'm a dope.
Who knows still which way that screen is pointing?
I'm an idiot.
I kind of know where the...
And I see Bill looking around and he's like, and we're waving at each other and like two little
finally, I found you.
I know. And I wasn't even standing, all 6'8".
This was, by the way, two people trying to figure out directions in a movie about some of the smartest people who have ever lived.
Right. And you and I
who did things that were considered only theoretically possible. And right. We couldn't even figure out which way was east.
No, I couldn't tie my shoes the way those guys were on screen. All right. So let's just go through this whole phenomenon of Barbie and Oppenheimer, Barbieheimer. And are you into that? And what is going on with our country and the internet and Barbieheimer fascination, Bill? I'm sure you have something on this.
Well, I mean, honestly, I think it's kind of unfortunate because I think they're both really good movies. I think Barbie is a really good movie. It's really unexpected. It's not what you think it is. They're both political movies. They both have to do with death. Barbie, but Barbie's also a lot of fun. Oppenheimer in its way is fun. I mean, the filmmaking is just unbelievable. But it's become this thing, right? And I think the marketing has probably helped Oppenheimer some, although Christopher Nolan doesn't usually need any help selling tickets. But because of the scheduling fluke, which is maybe not quite a fluke, but in this huge marketing thing, they're going to be compared. Like I gave Barbie 4.5 stars. Okay. I gave Oppenheimer 5 stars. So now I've opened myself up to this thing. Oh, so you like Oppenheimer better. And it's like, well, no, it's not that I like it better. It's just, it's different. And they're going to get compared that way for the near future. I don't know if 20 years from now, people will be doing it. People keep going back to the Dark Knight and Mamma Mia came out on the same day. And honestly, I had forgotten that happened. And then once I read it, I kind of remembered it, but I'd forgotten that. And they both did just fine. I think both of these movies will do just fine. But they're both really good and they deserve to be seen. I mean, they're not dinner and dessert. Barbie's not dessert. They're two dinners. Mm. They're just two dinners in different places. I make a note of that. I need to write that down. I'm going to write
good.
It
down. That's pretty good. I'm curious because I saw your review yesterday. Oppenheimer screened last night. And so did you see Barbie yesterday? Because sometimes you'll write the day that you see the screening. You like to get it out.
The night before.
So night before you saw Barbie. And did you see it in a theater or did you see it privately at your place? Did
they see it? Saw it in the theater. And should see it in the theater because, well, I mean, Oppenheimer, as you know, I mean, biggest theater you got. If you can find something bigger than IMAX, go see it in whatever that might be. If you can go see it projected on the side of a giant building, do that. But Barbie should be a big screen too, because the set design and the colors and everything and the music are the really enhanced by like a big screen experience and big speakers. And I would say also Barbie is definitely benefits from like a communal viewing experience. Like it's more fun with a crowd.
Did you come out of Barbie surprised, or did somewhere during the first few minutes you're like, oh, this isn't what I expected?
100% surprised. It is not what you think it is. It is what you think it is, but it's a whole lot more. Mm-hmm. And I'm not giving anything away by saying this, because it's in the trailers and there were some stories written about it when people saw it, but there's this big dance number and they're doing all the Barbie things you would think. and Margot Robbie as one of the as the main Barbie. She is the stereotypical Barbie. There are a lot of Barbies. She stops in the middle and says, "Hey, have you ever thought about dying?" And of course, it's safe to say none of the other Barbies have ever thought about dying. And then it turns out then she has to visit the real world. And she it's pretty amazing because it's a Mattel movie. Barbie is obviously a Mattel toy. But they Barbie thinks she's going to come to the real world. And everybody's going to cheer her and say, "Oh, you've solved all the problems of feminism and equal rights." Mm. And of course, she gets there, and this girl says, "You are everything we hate. you stand for everything that is bad about objectification and all that stuff." And she's crushed. She's had no idea. But it's really interesting. And Margot Robbie's really good. She kind of develops this awareness over the course of the movie. And it gets into all this existential stuff, and it has to do with parenting, and it has to do with the treatment of women and the patriarchy and all this. I mean, it's just but it's also fun. There's also these fun dance numbers and some really, really funny things.
Did you laugh out loud?
About 20 times.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, so my wife is telling me she's reading a review on Barbie. I forget where some comments, and I'm like, don't read the comments. I know you want to, but you don't. It's just opening yourself up. And there's this side of it that is the conservative female Christian saying you're going to have all sorts of awful things being thrown at your kid, your daughters can't see this movie. It's the worst piece of trash ever. I'm paraphrasing, but along those lines, can you see that in watching this movie?
You may be paraphrasing, but I don't think you're exaggerating. I mean, I think that's the kind of thing they're saying. It's absurd. I mean, it's ridiculous. There's nothing in that movie that would offend anybody who doesn't go into it wanting to be offended.
A movie about a doll. Okay, let's just cut to the core.
It doesn't. It deals with some pretty grown up themes at some point. Yeah. Which is sort of the unexpected part. But in terms of like turning your angelic child into a sinner, you know, there's something like that. I mean, that doesn't happen in movie theaters as far as I'm concerned. That happens somewhere else. That's more likely to happen at home than it is in the movie theater. Every time there's a movie with the slightest implication that maybe the world as we live in it is wrong in some ways, there's this kind of backlash by people who are afraid to change, I guess. And Barbie very much asks for at least consideration of change, of how we treat women and how men. Ken gets a little taste of the patriarchy, and he likes it quite a bit.
No, you sold me on it. You saw me at Goody's with us for a couple of minutes. Of course, you can read his content on AZ Central across the country as you take this in around the world. He is on Gannett's and their services as well. Gannett, not Gannett's. So over to Oppenheimer. Was it better than what you thought going in?
I like Christopher Nolan's movies. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've talked about them for years, and I like the way he makes movies. He doesn't do a lot of computer effects. He builds sets. I remember I talked to Tom Hardy, who was in one of the Batman movies, and he said it's what you think acting is when you're a little kid. I was dressed up like a bad guy, and Batman was chasing me around a city that he had actually built. You know, he said it's just really fun. I knew that it would be well made. I think that it's probably the best directed movie he's ever made. A lot of people have made comparisons to the movie JFK, where Oliver Stone used a lot of different film stock and jumped around in time and did things like that. There's a lot of that, as you know, in Oppenheimer. They actually, the whole thing was shot in IMAX, and there's only 19 theaters in the country that can show it that way. Harkins IMAX is one of them here in the Valley. Part of the film is shot in black and white to kind of to differentiate between the point of view and this kind of thing. They had to invent a black and white IMAX film for that. Mm. That did not exist before Nolan made this movie. I was pretty taken aback by I think I said in my review, it's almost tempting to say he was showing off, but he wasn't, because it was important to the way that he told the story. And I just thought the acting was just fantastic.
It was so good. It was funny. There were moments there. If people are going into this like, oh, that sounds really serious, there are some funny lines, some give and take, some banter that was pretty funny. There was some dark stuff too. Had a little bit of everything. Some twists. There's some twists in this one.
I felt like, and sometimes you feel like, I think I feel this way usually when I come out of a Christopher Nolan movie. I feel this way when I come out of a Quentin Tarantino movie. Whether you loved it or you didn't love it, by damn, you came out of a movie. You know what I mean? They didn't cheat you. You might not have liked everything, but boy, they threw it all at you. And that's kind of how I felt with this. And honestly, and I don't know how you felt about it. I loved it. But I feel like it's going to take a while to process it, you know? I mean,
my wife already wants to see it again. She already said this morning, she's like, I need to go back and see it again because there's some things I want to. So she's caught up in the accents and trying to figure out who's who, because there were so many names and people. She's like, oh, he's in. She'd lean to me. Oh, he's in. And then he's off screen. Oh, he's in.
Well, the cast is huge. I mean, the cast is. Right. Like, you're sitting there and it's like, holy cow, wait, that's Rami Malek. He's like, that guy's an Oscar winner. And he's got this.
Affleck shows up, right? What's he doing in here, right?
Yeah, I think, and people, they took pay cuts to work for Nolan. I think that, I think it's probably as an actor. I mean, it must be, right? I mean, it must be fun to there's a scene towards the end of the film, and Emily Blunt, who is good in the film, but to this point is very much Oppenheimer's wife, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a scene towards the end during a hearing where she just knocks it out of the park. Yep. Just absolutely amazing scene. And it's just this controlled fury thing. And it's just like so good. It's just Robert Downey Jr. has never been better. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's actually acting. You know, which he's great at. He just has spent 15 years being Iron Man, you know, but this is just like, I mean, this is what he can do. and I get the idea that he really enjoyed doing.
Okay. One other question on this, or two, I should say, and both of them are pretty short, I would think, on your response, but do you have to see this in IMAX? Because it's going to be restrictive. You don't have to see it in IMAX, but it's a much better experience to see it in IMAX, in my opinion.
I agree. And I don't think that's always the case. Sometimes I think IMAX is just louder.
Yep.
I felt like this really deserves as big a screen as you can get.
Yeah. If you can get to IMAX, you should do it for this one. If you had to choose one over the other, just because you gave one 5 stars, if you're going on a date night,
Barbie.
I went on a date night. It's Oppenheimer.
I think I would have done Barbie for a date.
We've done Barbie. Yeah. Yeah. Barbie's
a first date. Oppenheimer's an anniversary date.
Bill and I are giving dating advice on movies.
That's even right after our direction advice. We're probably just as good at one as we are the other.
Yeah. We're going to make a movie, Dumb and Dumber 3. Goody with us for a couple of minutes. Okay, let me run you through a whole bunch of things. Writer strike, what's your take?
Not going to end for a while.
What does this mean to the consumer? What does this mean to the person sitting at home? They get out of their car, they go sit in front of their TV this September. What is it going to look like?
In September? Maybe not much. By winter, by spring, it might mean something. I mean, there's no production going on right now. There can't be. There's international production going on because they don't have they're not bound by the union stuff. But that's when people are really going to start, you know, in small ways. Somebody, you know, it's going to be like November and people are going to say, hey, what, shouldn't Saturday Night Live be back? And it's like, no, it's not going to be back. And at some point it's going to be, you know, I love The Bear, but I don't know if I can watch it a fourth time. I'm ready for something I'm ready for something new. And I think that's the point where I think we're fairly soon going to be getting into that point where it starts to really affect new product.
Threads, you using Threads? We get into social media stuff too. I know.
I like it. I always like whatever the brand new shiny object is, but I do like it. It's definitely at the moment a lot friendlier than Twitter has become. And you're not overrun with sketchy ads and bots that are commenting on your tweets and stuff like that. or your thread, I guess, in this. You know, it started out big. It's got some features it needs to add. It needs to add the chronological order of posts and stuff like that. But and a little bit, you know, it needed to be able to search search it a little better. But I use it.
Yeah.
I don't live or die by it, but I like it.
The Diamondbacks and Suns, if you and I were talking a year ago at this time, I actually think if you and I were having lunch a year ago at this time, you might have said to me, or I might have said to you, kind of wondering what's going to happen, because this Bally's thing I'm hearing is a financial question mark a year ago. I would have told you 6 months ago that the Suns and Diamondbacks would be gone off of the channel. Would you have bought into that, Bill?
I think so, because I knew that they were, I mean, clearly there are financial troubles there. And I spoke to some folks, you know, kind of whatever on background or whatever you want to call it, particularly about the Diamondbacks early on a while back. And they said, this, you know, this isn't sustainable. I mean, something's going to happen. What everybody really wants is their own app. They want their own, you know, they want their own customized viewing experience and all that kind of thing. Maybe I do, maybe I don't. I don't want it for $20 extra a month. I'll tell you that right now. The Diamondbacks, I've jinxed them, because I wrote about how they're the best thing to watch
last
on TV.
Last week, Big Bill story. Diamondbacks are great, and then they just play awful. And Bill's
they lose three in a row, and then they lose their TV deal. That was my contribution to the Diamondbacks baseball. But the I don't know what the future is going to be. I don't know that regional sports, I don't know that national sports are the answer either. I mean, I don't know that there is a good answer, because people, just as we've talked about many times, they don't watch TV the same way they used to. They watch the NFL. They'll crawl over broken glass to watch the NFL on, you know, on a cell phone or something, but everything else, it's just in play. And I don't think people have the answer yet. I was happy to see that it was easy enough to find the Diamondbacks last night on AT&T TV, which I have. You know, they're not on YouTube.
Cox,
TV.
It was easy. It wasn't hard.
Yeah. Cox, they just give you a different channel.
Right.
But it's a little annoying, you know, and it just doesn't feel quite right. I mean, it's like, wait a second, we've got a team that's actually in contention here, which nobody thought was going to happen. And you're going to make it harder to find. It's not that much harder to find, but it's a little different. And you kind of wonder what the future is going to be. And there's talk about, the MLB version of it, you can get for free, I think, through Sunday. And then you got to start paying for it. I don't know. It doesn't seem to me like a great way to run a business, but nobody's ever asked me to run a business.
You know,
so
Bill,
keep that in mind.
I think for you and I, and I think that people watching this, like every month I see $4.95 for Peacock, or I see Hulu, or I see Netflix, or I see my bill every month, because you have to consume, right? It's part of our deal. And yeah, there's some free stuff that we get, but Apple TV comes out. I need to see some stuff over on Apple TV. And I just saw where Peacock is increasing their number, and it just feels like there's this little, it's only $2.99. Sirius XM is this, this is this, this is that. And that people are going to get to a pivot of saying, why am I paying for this when I'm not going to watch everything on Apple TV, by the way? I just want to watch one series. I'm paying $4.99 a month, you know, whatever the number may be. And I feel like there's this, just this little, it's kind of like going out to eat and it's tipping. It's just automatically you're going to tip more. Well, no, we're not going to tip more. We're not going to tip, okay? If you're going to ask me to tip on top of tip, I may not tip. Sounds kind of bad on my part. But do you know where I'm going with this? That media is starting to just, we have to figure out how to monetize this, because it can't just be click count anymore. It can't just be run a spot anymore. You see The Athletic do what they did with the New York Times, and the MLS is now something that they're going to push really hard. Soccer is going to be pushed really hard because Messi's here. And I don't know if people your age, my age, if our age, are going to be diving into that. I know that my youngers are all about streaming and apps, and they don't really care. They really don't care about, like, cable. What's cable? This, I need a new one. You know?
They don't care about cable. They don't. The concept of a television network is completely lost on them because it's never been meaningful. I mean, it all comes through the same place now. I mean, it's just a different service, but you're not loyal to, you know, there's that boy, that NBC Thursday night lineup, you know, those days are gone forever.
Way gone. Way gone.
And I mean, I think that but it's going to be the same with like regional sports networks because most, other than the NFL, most, I think you would say that until the playoffs, most teams are regional, you know, I mean, most professional sports teams are regional. I like watching the Diamondbacks. I kind of have to do it because of work.
Yep. Same.
If I didn't, I don't know if I like watching them that much. I don't like them $20 a month. I can tell you that. I don't know what the future is, but I think that they're clearly the whole industry is just they're trying to rethink the whole thing. And like you say, that people want, I think, like a menu kind of thing, a little bit of this here, a little bit of that there. But I don't want the ESPN. I don't want the Fox News, but I do want the Hulu, you know, and it's like
surprised that people in our industry are so shocked at what's happened. Like, I can't believe ESPN had layoffs. Well, let me fill you in on something. Do you remember Jemele Hill? There were layoffs 5 years ago. There's a whole cascade of layoffs. This isn't anything new. And at the end of the day, I think people are just comfortable with their personalities and they just want it to be a certain way. And it's no, people are not watching. And that network decided to make everything about LeBron, Tom Brady, a couple of other topics, the Yankees and Red Sox that they're playing, rinse, repeat, do it all over again.
Stephen A.
And Stephen A, we're going to go pay a bunch of money to a couple talking heads in the morning, and you don't piss off the mouse in the business of media. That's an old saying that I've heard years and years ago. Don't piss off the mouse. And the mouse is pissed, and the stock price has been hit. And because of that, we're seeing all this stuff, and people are like, I can't believe it. This is the worst thing ever. I don't know. Cancer is probably pretty worse than you not being able to see some guy that's on television talking mindlessly about what's going on in the NBA. I just think it's different now.
And there's priorities. What you talked about yesterday and the day before.
Yes. Like LeBron James, I wrote this the other day. LeBron James, every morning talk show host and radio and sports should give him some money back because he's given them a career for the last 15 years. As much as you may like him or hate him, you just have to say LeBron and there's your show. It's not that hard.
He and Jerry Jones.
Yeah, right. Anything else on your, you know, I feel like I've kind of over-talked you a few times here today. So
I think we've hit most of the highlights. I'll like everybody else, I'll be curious to when football starts and
So I'm going to Vegas. I'll jump in on this. I'm going to Vegas for Pac-12 Media Day. Friday morning at 8 a.m., George Kliakoff, the new commissioner, not new, but he's been there about less than 2 years, is going to step up to the podium and say, we have no media deal, at least as we're sitting here talking right now. It's been 2 years. And the media deal
they had for 10 years or whatever it was wasn't terrible. Much better than nothing.
I mean, terrible. Yeah. Yeah, and I'm like, well, Valley's is sitting here now without the Diamondbacks, without the Suns. They could clear a whole bunch of stuff in college. They could. Valley San Diego lost the Padres. San Diego State's supposed to get in the Pac-12. Is it really that hard for at least you guys to get to the table and say, you guys have a problem with content? We have a problem with distribution. We're all sitting here. Let's figure something out. But no.
No, I think there are still so many question marks about the Pac, but about the existence of the Pac-12.
Sure.
I mean, I wouldn't. What's the old John Madden line? You know, he doesn't buy green bananas anymore or whatever. I don't think that the Pac-12 is a green banana. I think it's a pretty ripe banana. I'm not sure what its future holds, but honestly, what is, you know, you talk about uncertain futures. What does the future of college football hold? And when is that going to become just this sort of elite 48 team, basically NFL, you know, that gets a national contract and everybody else is just kind of out there fighting for scraps? It's kind of turning into that already anyway. So,
well, and I think that as much as there's a lot of people don't like soccer, it's very clear what the Athletics, they've said it. You know, we're going to cover MLS. We're going to cover soccer. The numbers that Messi is putting up of just coming here and Priscilla and others, you know, and am I going to sit there and watch Apple Plus, who said we're doing MLS all in? Is it going to take a share away from the NFL? Probably not, but in some markets, it might. In Miami, it would be really interesting to see what happens just in terms of conversation of Messi versus if the Dolphins aren't any good.
I saw videos of, to your point, I saw videos online of Messi shopping with his family.
Right.
Grocery store.
Yeah.
And to, I don't know if it's to his credit, I guess it is, he didn't seem to mind that he was obviously being filmed.
Well, and there's the other side of that, Bill, is that grocery chain is one of the main sponsors of the soccer team.
So you want
to go push a cart around and our social media team will just grab you for 30 seconds and it'll go.
But you can act like we just snuck up on you. Okay.
Let's go buy a whole bunch of, I think people were talking about the sugar cereals in his cart. He probably was like, yeah, you know what? I'll throw in everything that's bad and people make fun of it. I don't know. That's my conspiracy theory. When I heard that grocery chain is tied into the soccer club, it's like, oh, okay. Anyways.
Love it.
I'll let you go off that.
All right.
Time today. Good seeing you. Stay well.
You too. Next time we can find each other a little easier. But
to the west, to the east, there is Goody at the movies. You can find all of Bill's content. Bill's all over social. Just look for Goody K. Look at AZ Central. Look at Connect. Bill is a lot of places. And we're back with more after this time out.